Tuesday afternoons from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. Tune in for a pure phase of laser-guided melodies on the Electric Mainline. Three hours of the best in indie rock, Britpop, space rock, dream pop, electronic, post-punk, and new wave. The Electric Mainline, every Wednesday afternoon, only on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB in Stony Brook, in case that wasn't clear. It's 6:01, time for Off the Wall. Yes, that's true. If the theme goes this long, you know something's all fouled up, but I think we got it working. Everything in the studio is broken. Have to use several studios to get things done today. But I guess it's the nature of things. When the temperature starts to go up, the equipment starts to go down. This is Emmanuel. I'm here for the next hour or so with another action-packed edition of Off the Wall. Broadcasting to you from Clear Cut University. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to call it that from now on. I'm going to call it in honor of the baboons who go around ripping off trees and destroying landscape. Oh my God, I came into this campus today. I could not recognize it. I mean, I knew about the entrance, what they did to the entrance to this place. And in true Stalinist style, it's called the Beautification Project. Nothing could be further from the truth. It basically, at long last, in answer to all the spontaneous demonstrations of the populace, you can now see the four-lane highway from the campus. Yeah, before you were surrounded by these scary trees, you know, and you couldn't see anything except birds and flowers and plants, and it was quiet, and there wasn't the sights and sounds of commerce. Well, now you can see it all, because they tore down all the trees without consulting anybody. Oh, my God. But that I expected to see. That I expected. But coming up to the Student Union building here, it's like somebody went crazy with machinery. They just tore down all the trees along the way for spite. I don't know why. There was no need to do that. Unless they... You know what I think they're going to do? I think they're going to do this. Because they don't tell us anything. They just do it. I think they're going to make a four-lane highway to the stadium. That's what I think they're going to do. Yeah. See, this campus, the original name of this campus was the State University of New York at Stony Brook. But now it's Clear Cut University, and I mean that. Unless that's already taken. Is that already taken? I don't think that's taken. Originally, it was a nice little tree-lined university. They tried out the red brick buildings for a while. That didn't work out, so they built the monstrosities. You know, I was okay with that. I didn't mind the monstrosities. We have this giant building that looks like a robot. It's called the Health Science Center with a hospital attached to it. Very comforting, but obviously there are advances and changes from the original design. But the landscape was always there. You know, there were always trees and scenery and things like that. And it's just Asphalt City. There used to be a forest in back of the Student Union building, and now there's a parking lot as far as you can see. You could play an NFL football game on this parking lot. And you just have to worry about the lampposts, but pretty much it's all asphalt. Like, they don't play football on asphalt, do they? Why not? They're wearing those heavy uniforms. They should be able to do that. Well, if you need a lot of asphalt, this is the place to be, because that's all it is. But the reason for this is because they built this stadium. You know, they don't have money to build academic buildings. Long, long time ago, I remember they were going to build a liberal arts tower. Liberal arts tower. Doesn't that sound cool? But it's not something that the university could do, so they built a stadium instead. And another gym. We have two gyms and a stadium. And all anybody can talk about here is fraternities and sports. So what's going to happen is they're going to tear down the trees and build a four-lane highway so everybody can get to the stadium. In fact, there's a sign. There's a sign outside the campus that is this big blank sign except for one word that says stadium. Stadium this direction. And that pretty much tells you the story of priorities. The priorities ain't trees anymore, I'm afraid. Well, it's the 21st century. I guess we have to move along with it. But it's pretty sad. Pretty sad to see how things change and how there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Well, you can if you can get to it before they actually destroy things. But boy, it's shocking. It's nice, though, when people do have a say, when people are able to have town meetings and vote and express their opinion and just get something done. Feel like you make a difference. Now, I know a university is not the place where you are going to feel like you make a difference, especially a big, oppressive state bureaucracy like this one. But something's changed, not just here, but in many places. In New York City, for instance, NYU is one of the biggest land barons in the city. They go around kicking people out of apartments and tearing down buildings and replacing them with, at least they're replacing them with either academic buildings or dormitories, not stadiums. But between them and Columbia University, the city is petrified. I mean, even Donald Trump is scared of these people. I was walking around the other day, and I realized that NYU has destroyed two places that I used to like to go to see music. The Palladium, which they had the gall to rename the Palladium Dormitory. And people don't even know that the Palladium existed. I tell people, hey, I saw Elvis Costello at the Palladium. Oh, he went to NYU? And then the bottom line, of course, which was destroyed a couple of years ago because they couldn't afford to pay all the rent that NYU was demanding from them. I don't know how NYU got to be the landlord, but they did. And now you see a university out here, a state university, doing the same thing, taking over, tearing things down, instilling fear into people. What are you going to do? Well, the important thing is to get involved before it's too late. And then maybe, just maybe, you can say something. And in one part of the world, the people did say something. You know what they said?
Non, rien de rien.
That's right.
Non, je ne regrette rien, ni le bien.
So this is all about the European Union, which not very many people in this country were probably aware of before this weekend. But if you take a few minutes and explore the world every day, you'll find out that all these fascinating developments are occurring day after day. And the French people have just voted no. And we regret nothing. All right, they added that part, but they said no to something that would have been unthinkable a couple of months ago, certainly a couple of years ago. That is, the EU Constitution was being voted on. Now, the way this works, there's 25 countries in the European Union right now. And the Constitution was recently drafted, recently meaning within the last couple of years, by former French leader Valéry Giscard d'Estaing. And what a lot of countries have been doing, the rules are that every country has to ratify this. Every country has to agree. It's like, okay, you know, to draw an analogy in the States, every state would have to agree to make a change to the Constitution. In this case, they're making a Constitution. So, what many countries have been doing is ratifying it within their government. This just happened in Germany. The parliament said, yeah, this is good, but they didn't ask the people. Spain, they asked their people, and the people said yes. But the French people, they said no. And what that means is that the whole Constitution is on ice right now. There's really nowhere for it to go. And tomorrow, the Dutch are going to vote against it. So, it's a real crisis. And the thing that made me realize that it probably is a good move to vote against this thing, even though I think a united Europe is good for the most part. But if you don't ask the people what they think, if you don't get their input, no matter what decision you make, it's tarnished. You know, tearing down all the trees here, that might be the best thing in the world. But you guys didn't ask. You didn't consult. You didn't confer. So, you know, when we're looking out at the desert in a couple of years and seeing all the way to Port Jefferson, it's just not going to feel right because it wasn't our decision. So, you know, when I see elections going on in other countries, it feels like it really does make a difference sometimes. It feels like people really do have a way of speaking. Now, look at what happened as a result of this. The French voted on Sunday. And early this morning, the French Prime Minister resigned as a result. Not the president. The president is Jacques Chirac. He appoints the prime minister. And today he appointed Dominique de Villepin as the new prime minister. Now, this guy is interesting because, I don't know if you remember this, a couple of years ago when there were the UN hearings, when the United States was pushing to go to war against Iraq, and all these people were saying, you know, why do you want to do that? That's not a good idea. Well, this was the guy. This was the main spokesperson during those hearings. And he's staunchly anti-Iraq war. So that to me is a good move. But as far as actually saying no to the Constitution, that's something that a lot of people have mixed feelings about. For one thing, the far right has been against the Constitution because they're anti-immigrant. And they're afraid of the Turks. They're afraid of Turkey becoming part of the European Union. So that's why they voted against it. But people on the other side of the spectrum also voted against it because they saw things such as, in Holland, for instance, their rather liberal drug laws and sex laws and things like that. Those could all be threatened because of a united constitution that imposed certain rules from bureaucrats in Brussels. And people just didn't want that. So, it's not the end of the world. Even though, and that's the thing I think that really pushed me over the edge. Seeing how the yes people, the yes voters, were saying, you know, if you don't vote for this, you've destroyed Europe. You've broken the whole continent. It's all for nothing. And when you see tactics like that being pulled out, you realize that these people just are covering something up. They just want it their way. And they're not willing to work at something. They just want their way to be voted in without any public input. So they'll have to do a new constitution. They'll have to start all over again. Actually, a couple of years ago, I distinctly remember they were debating whether or not the EU needed a constitution, whether that was appropriate, whether every country should just continue to have their own constitution and unite economically and in various other ways, keep the independence. So it's not the end of Europe by any stretch of the imagination. It's a good thing. It's a good thing when people vote, speak up, and correct their government. Say, no, we don't want it this way. We want it that way instead. And, you know, how many people listening now, if there's anybody still listening, yes, talking about world events, I know, it's something that we shy away from here. We're afraid of it. If I was talking about, you know, the American Idol winner or something like that, then I'd have a whole lot more listeners, I know. I don't think it's genetic. I think it's something that is just kind of instilled in us, that anything having to do with government or foreign countries is dull and boring and should not be talked about, ever. And that's why a lot of people probably had no idea this was going to happen. But if you simply looked at foreign media, and maybe some of our domestic media, if you could find any that actually cared, you realize that this was going to be a very interesting week over there. There's one channel that's done an especially good job as far as covering this this bit of news, and that's Euronews, which for some reason, Cablevision carries this channel as part of their digital package. It's on channel 103, I believe. So that is probably the best thing Cablevision has ever done. That's even better than opposing the West Side Stadium. Because we all know they don't really care, they just don't want competition. But it's good that they're opposing that. But carrying this news channel from another continent is a really good idea. And I advise people to call them and tell them that, so they don't replace it with something stupid like a shop-at-home network. We're going to be losing News World International to Al Gore later this summer. That's the only channel where you could get Canadian news. And apparently that's something that Americans aren't entitled to anymore. Oh, well. That's just the way it goes, I suppose. And what else has been going on in the world? I don't know. I just walked in here Everything was broken, so let's see what's on the old teletype here. Oh, yeah, they figured out who Deep Throat is today. Or at least they allegedly figured out who Deep Throat is today. This guy named Mark Felt. He was second in command at the FBI in the early 1970s. He's 91 years old now, living in California. And Vanity Fair, of all magazines, is reporting that he is the person who basically fed Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein with enough information to give them the whole Watergate story, which eventually led to the toppling of President Nixon. Interesting how one person can have that kind of power. But one person speaking up at the right time in the right place can do an amazing amount of good. So hopefully this guy just isn't lying, but Woodward and Bernstein aren't saying. They say they signed an oath not to tell anybody till the guy dies, so they're keeping their mouth shut until that happens. Okay, and this is something else that really is interesting. If you've been looking around various parts of the world, you might have seen this as well. The United States has basically been accused of all kinds of nasty things by Amnesty International. A 300-page annual report that just came out, Amnesty International accused the U.S. government of damaging human rights with its attitude to torture and treatment of detainees. This granted a license to others to commit abuse with impunity, according to the Human Rights Advocate group. In Washington, a White House spokesman branded the allegations ridiculous and unsupported by the facts. This is the party line here. The United States is leading the way when it comes to protecting human rights and promoting human dignity. We have liberated 50 million people in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have worked to advance freedom and democracy in the world. That according to Scott McClellan, the spokespiece for the administration. The report also criticized the world as a whole for failing to act over crises, notably in Sudan's Darfur region. Afghanistan was slipping into a downward spiral of lawlessness and instability. The report accused governments of adhering stubbornly to politically convenient but inefficient tactics to address terrorism in 2004, despite what Amnesty saw as a lack of success. Now, Vice President Dick Cheney yesterday said he was offended by Amnesty International's condemnation of the United States for what it called serious human rights violations at Guantanamo Bay. He was offended. Oh my, and this is the story that you get in the American media. Not that one of the most respected organizations in the world is leveling these accusations at a country like the United States. No, the vice president is offended. Oh my goodness. You know, you don't realize how the propaganda is being thrown at you all the time. But when you turn on CNN, there's always some portrait of Laura Bush or George Bush Sr. or Cheney or something. You know, it's not the criticism that you see. It's their reaction to the criticism. That's the news. So the fact that Cheney is offended, you'll see that before you see allegations of torture. Anyway, for Amnesty International to suggest that somehow the United States is a violator of human rights, I frankly just don't take them seriously. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Doesn't take them seriously, doesn't take world opinion seriously, certainly doesn't take American opinion seriously. We have documented that the U.S. government is a leading purveyor and practitioner of the odious human rights violation, said William Schultz, executive director of Amnesty International, last Wednesday. On its website, Amnesty International says, as evidence of torture and widespread, cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment mounts, it is more urgent than ever that the U.S. government bring the Guantanamo Bay detention camp and any other facilities it is operating outside the USA into full compliance with international law and standards. The only alternative is to close them down. The vice president then launched into the usual party line, saying the United States has freed millions of people from oppression. You know, that might be true. It's quite possible the United States has freed millions of people from oppression. Okay? But, in so doing, it has hurt countless others. You see, when you're everywhere at once, you're bound to do some good and some bad. And there are very few countries in this world that the United States does not have some kind of presence in, and is not pulling the strings in some manner. So, while all that's going on, yeah, you're going to free some people. You're going to liberate some people. Intentionally or not, who knows. But, at the same time, you're going to cause all kinds of mayhem. And to just simply dismiss it, to not address the actual instances, that's what you have to wonder. Amnesty International is pointing out specifics here. Cheney says, I think the fact of the matter is the United States has done more to advance the cause of freedom, has liberated more people from tyranny over the course of the 20th century. And, of course, this is the 21st century now. Doesn't say anything about that. And up to the present day. Okay, I guess maybe that does include it. Than any other nation in the history of the world, he said. Just in this administration, we've liberated 50 million people from the Taliban in Afghanistan and from Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Two terribly repressive regimes that slaughtered hundreds of thousands of their own people. Interesting. Over 100,000 people have died since this little campaign was started. It's probably closer to 200,000 now, for all we know. We don't count those people. And all of those deaths, and the deaths of the American servicemen and foreign servicemen and women, it's all on the heads of people like Cheney and Bush. I mean, there's just no disputing this. They went in there with absolutely no reason other than the desire to control a country. It wasn't about saving people from the brutal oppression or anything like that. Because if it were, then there'd be all kinds of other places in the world where they would have gone first, where it's a lot worse. Places like Rwanda, where the U.S. was very silent and quiet. Cheney denied American wrongdoing at the detention facility in Guantanamo Bay, which Amnesty International compared to a gulag. Guantanamo has been operated, I think, in a very sane and sound fashion by the U.S. military. I think these people have been well treated humanely and decently. Hey, if that's the case, Dick, why don't you let people in to see? Why don't you let the Red Cross go down there? Why don't you let Amnesty International go down there? Why don't you let the media walk around unencumbered and check out the conditions? And you know what? Why don't you let them do that without announcing their presence first? So they can see what really goes on. So you don't have a chance to clean it up. That hasn't happened. It's outside the U.S. And certain laws apply. You're not allowed to know who these people are. You're not allowed to see them. You're not allowed to visit. You're not allowed to know anything. So, you know, the onus is on you to prove that these things are not true, these allegations that have been made. And you can't just say, no, it's not true, and I'm not going to show you any evidence. Cheney continues, if you trace those, occasionally there are allegations of mistreatment, if you trace those back in nearly every case, it turns out to come from somebody who has been inside and been released to their home country and now are peddling lies about how they were treated. All right, now let's look at what he said here. Now, obviously, it's going to be from somebody who was released. How in the world is somebody who's shackled and tied to a table, God knows what they do to people down there, how are they going to make any allegations whatsoever? Hop on the internet? I don't think so. It's going to have to be from somebody who was there and was released. And yes, released to their home country. So, all of that makes sense that that's what they would have been through before they could make an allegation like this. But somehow, the way Cheney is portraying it, these things, they've been inside, they were released, and they're in their home country. That's supposed to bolster his conclusion that they're lying. And again, just saying they're lying, that's not defending yourself. Amnesty International responded to Cheney's remarks. Doesn't matter whether he takes Amnesty International seriously. He doesn't take torture seriously. He doesn't take the Geneva Convention seriously. He doesn't take due process rights seriously. And he doesn't take international law seriously. And that is more important than whether he takes Amnesty International seriously. On Thursday, the commander of the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center said an investigation had identified five incidents in which the Quran appears to have been mishandled by his personnel. Again, you know, I have a real problem with the whole world getting upset at somebody defacing the Quran and remaining quiet when people are killed or tortured. You know, I just have a real problem with that. I think that's what people should be getting very upset about. And there are real allegations of that as well. Brigadier General Jay Hood said he found no credible evidence that personnel at the military prison flushed a Quran down a toilet. Okay, you know what? Who knows if they flushed a Quran down a toilet? You know how they investigate things in the military, though? You know how it works? Well, we looked into it. But the allegations, people said that you did this. Well, you know, we checked. We went through all the paperwork. Didn't see any allegations. What about this guy and his scars and the mental anguish he's gone through? Well, you know, if you had it written down somewhere, if you know, we log everything. We log the torture. We log the the desecration of religious artifacts. We keep track. And if it's not there, then it didn't happen. That, my friends, is a military investigation. Not answerable to anybody outside the military. And that's why you see everybody who's accused of these things getting away with it. Because they know how to play the game. Well, President Bush, as his style, weighed in a day later on this whole mess. He called a human rights report absurd for criticizing the United States' detention of terrorist suspects at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And said Tuesday the allegations were made by people who hate America. Oh, isn't that nice? So Amnesty International hates America. Did you know that? It's fascinating. And if you believe that these things are going on, no, you don't even have to believe it. If you just suspect that maybe it's going on because you're not being told anything, and because all these ominous signs are pretty much blatantly pointing out that, yeah, something bad is going on in these places. Occasionally you see videotape, and that's when they admit they have a problem. But without the videotape, they won't ever admit it. No videotape, it didn't happen. I mean, who is crazy enough to document every instance of torture? Well, the Nazis were, but the Nazis were so... They were convinced the whole world was theirs for the taking. They were so arrogant and smug. They never for a second thought that the world could turn against them and things could go very badly. You know what? Maybe they are keeping records. I just convinced myself that the attitude is pretty much the same. So, I don't know. It's quite possible. But they are certainly witnesses. And they need to come forward and be honest and take the risk of retribution because, unfortunately, that's part of it. Continuing with Bush's remarks here, it's absurd. It's an absurd allegation. The United States is a country that promotes freedom around the world. Do you get the sense everybody's saying the same thing? In a Rose Garden news conference, Bush defiantly stood by his domestic policy agenda while defending his actions abroad. With the death toll climbing daily in Iraq, he said that nation's fledgling government is plenty capable of defeating terrorists whose attacks on Iraqi civilians and U.S. soldiers have intensified. Plenty capable. What a great choice of words. So, yeah, that's where things stand as far as that goes. It's just really sad, pathetic, disgusting, all that kind of thing. All right, let's turn to something a little bit more popular. Something I swore I'd never talk about in this program. No, not Michael Jackson, not O.J. Simpson. The Runaway Bride, yes. That's the story people want to hear about. The Runaway Bride. Jennifer Wilbanks, she's the big wide-eyed girl who ran away because I don't know why she ran away, and why do we care why she ran away? She just did. But now everybody's mad at her because they were looking for her, and they expected to find a body, and they didn't. Instead, she wound up in Las Vegas. Anyway, she's agreed to pay $13,250 to the city of Duluth, Georgia, to help pay for the costs the city incurred searching for her. The city attorney notified the mayor that a written agreement for compensation had been reached. The city was expected to receive a check from Wilbanks sometime today. Yeah, you know what she should do? Run away. Wouldn't that be great? She just ran away again? Because she didn't have the money or she didn't want to deal with it? I mean, would that be illegal to run away? Is she under arrest? Are we not free to go wherever we feel like going? I don't know. Just have some fun with this, or at least do the talk show circuit or something. Anyway, in accepting the agreement, the city will have to write off about $30,000 in other costs searching for the bride-to-be, who disappeared April 26, 4 days before her planned wedding. We're very appreciative they were willing to give us the $13,000. We would have certainly welcomed the entire amount that covered all of our employees, but we are ready to get this behind us. Wilbanks was indicted last Wednesday on charges. She told police a phony story about being kidnapped and sexually assaulted. She was charged with making a false statement and making a false police report. She could get up to 6 years behind bars and $11,000 in fines. But, you know, the point where she actually made that particular lie was long after the point where people were looking for her. And I don't think she lied at any point before then. She just ran away. And I don't think running away is against the law, especially if you're an adult. Now, the question is, was she watching the news and seeing that people all over her home state were searching for her? Don't know. It's kind of hard to... I know I was deluged with that story day after day. Of course, it wasn't called the Runaway Bride story then. It was the Missing Bride story. But, it's interesting turn of events. If you run away now, you might be liable for charges. If people think that you're, you know, all dismembered someplace. Our email address, otw@2600.com. We welcome your letters, your mail of all sorts. Let's read a couple of those pieces. Hi, I donated to the show the amount of $50. I was wondering if I am still going to get my autographed copy of the DVD. I haven't received anything yet except a letter thanking me for my donation. Well, we're still waiting to get the list of names from the radio station. I think it usually takes a few weeks to just make sure everybody's paid up. Then they give us the names, and we send all the fun stuff out. So, yeah, it'll... If you paid up, you'll be getting exactly what it was you asked for. And thanks very much to those people who did that. And, of course, the sooner you pay up, too, the sooner we know what the matching fund is, which I pledged the matching fund. I think it's hovering around the $2,000 mark. So that meant we brought in $4,000 during 1 hour here, which is fantastic. And that hopefully will go towards a delay machine, which will allow us to take your phone calls once again. Wouldn't that be nice? Reading letters is fun, but conversing back and forth, that's more fun. You know, arguing about guns. Okay, you want to argue about guns? I can do that right now. Every week I can find stories about how stupid people are and why it's a good idea to practice gun safety. Yeah, it's gun control because it's a dangerous weapon. You need to control dangerous weapons. Doesn't mean take them away. It doesn't mean have the government, open up gulags and put people own guns in them. It doesn't mean things like that. I've been accused of all kinds of things just for suggesting that people exercise some safety, some caution. So this week we had a couple of fun stories. Let's see, a four-year-old was fatally wounded when he wandered behind a paper target while family and friends were practicing shooting. This was in Minnesota. This happened on Sunday. According to Sergeant James McKenzie of the St. Louis County, yeah, it's in Minnesota, it's confusing, I know, St. Louis County Sheriff's Department, he said they thought they had the kids under control. Well, guess what? They didn't. While the paper target didn't completely obscure the child, he was wearing camouflage pants that made him difficult to see against the foliage. A 40-year-old man fired a handgun about 30 feet through the target and into the boy. McKenzie called the shooting a pretty straightforward accident and said no charges were likely to be filed. My God, come on. How can you not file? I mean, I know these people are in mourning, but that's criminally negligent homicide. No question about it. You don't have a shooting range anywhere near where kids are wandering around. That's just common sense. And obviously something these people did not have any of. Now, if they had had the proper training, maybe this wouldn't have happened. If people weren't encouraged to just open fire wherever they feel like, a lot of these accidents could be avoided. It's just sad and pathetic. See how people just don't use common sense. Common sense that could easily be obtained if there was some kind of structure. Instead of this free-for-all where, you know, my Second Amendment rights. I can shoot into my backyard without looking first. Thomas Jefferson would have wanted it that way. Then you had the Ohio incident. I can probably come up with an incident in every state every week, too, I'll bet, if I had the time to do this. On the same day he was to attend his high school graduation ceremony, Scott Moody, and boy, that name sure describes him well, shot five friends and relatives to death and wounded another before killing himself. Logan County Sheriff Michael Henry said Moody shot people Sunday in two nearby homes outside Bellefontaine in an apparent murder-suicide. Yeah, they picked up on that, didn't they? Apparent murder-suicide. Moody's sister, Stacy Moody, was wounded in the neck and was hospitalized Monday in critical condition. Scott Moody's body was found in the house Sunday, along with the bodies of his mother and two of his friends. His grandparents were found dead in the kitchen of another house about a quarter mile away. Investigators don't know the reasons behind the shootings. That's the main number one question. Why? And there was an advertisement, in fact, placed in a local newspaper with his picture. And an advertisement from his, from his mother saying, good luck and have fun. Oh, my God. Graduation day. You see, the thing is, you don't know what's going through people's heads. Graduation day is usually a fun day, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's all kinds of pressure, or sometimes there's all kinds of craziness going on in people's minds and in people's houses and in people's families. I've seen a lot of it. I'm sure you've seen a lot of it, too. People go berserk. They go psycho. They scream. They yell. But you inject guns into the mix, and all of a sudden you have situations like this where people just lose control and shoot everything in sight. And it's the kind of thing you see way too much here. So much more than in other countries. And it's because of this ease of access that people are convinced is their right. Well, you know, sometimes you have to balance what you consider to be your rights with what you consider to be, you know, a good idea, common sense, responsible behavior, that kind of thing. Should this guy have had access to weapons? Probably not. There are probably all kinds of warning signs. But nobody wants to speak up and say, this is a bad idea. Okay, so, you know, if we can take phone calls, then we can argue about these kinds of things. Always lots of fun. But let's continue with some letters, because they're exciting as well. Radio talk show host Phil Hendry has plans to sue the FCC for regulating content in public radio broadcasts. He's been talking about it on his show for a while now, I, for one, can't wait to see how this turns out. Thanks to that listener who sent us that piece of mail. And that's very good news as well, just knowing that he's involved in the fight as well. Phil Hendry, one of the most creative people on radio today, and for some reason he's on commercial radio, which is great. You can visit his website, www.philhendryshow.com. I'll spell that, philhendryshow.com. And just listen to a couple of his shows, and I think you'll be hooked. I disagree with just about everything he says politically, by the way, but the way he says it is simply amazing. And just knowing that people like that are on the same side against these FCC actions, that in itself is inspirational. Dear Emmanuel, I just wanted to second your statements about the FCC. I'm a student in Washington State, and I run the website www.freedomdown.net. Not downtime, freedomdown.net. That allows people to bypass filtering via proxies. Yeah, I heard about people like you. That's how the terrorists win. They anonymize themselves by going through your site. Yeah. I listen to Off the Wall and Off the Hook not only because I like the technical content, but because you give me some hope for the rest of the United States. Well, I'm glad somebody's getting some hope. Remember, if freedom is outlawed, then only outlaws will have freedom. Signed, Eric. Thanks for the positive words there. And yeah, you know, there are a lot of people that do question, that speak up. And it's always inspiring to hear from them as well. Dear Emmanuel, I was wondering what kind of MP3 player you used to record Off the Wall a few weeks ago. Also, did you plug in a lapel mic? Or was it just recording off the MP3 player's speaker? Thought it made a very interesting show. Thanks for the train noise. Assigned Donna from Melbourne, Australia. Well, yes, it was a lapel mic that I used in that particular case. And it was an iRiver MP3 player that I will be taking with me when I go around the world later this summer. And hopefully it'll work as well as it did then. And hopefully it'll actually make it onto the air as well. No matter where I am, what part of the world, whether it be the Atlantic Ocean, Inner Mongolia, China, the Pacific Ocean, or California, I will record a show with enough time to hopefully upload it to the net and download it here at this radio station and play it on the air. And it'll sound like I'm here, even though I'm not. And, of course, Off the Hook on the other radio station, I'll be phoning in, maybe using a satellite phone. Who knows? Oh, and speaking of Off the Hook, just found out we are on tomorrow night. The fundraiser at WBAI was extended. Of course, if you're listening to this after midweek, you can disregard it. But Wednesday, June 1st, from 7 to 8, we will be doing a fundraiser. So if you missed out your first opportunity to pledge, you have another one. Here's another letter. Dear Off the Wall. Actually, he says, hi, I don't know your name. A really good program, entertaining and worthwhile. Let me tell you why. First, you aren't afflicted with a radio personality. You know, I'm not afflicted with a personality at all, I'm told. An artificial persona that tends to be slick, glib, and scripted. Should I take offense that I haven't been called glib? I've always tried to be glib. Now I'm finding out that I'm not really glib. Well, if one were to have a face-to-face conversation with one such, one would walk away wondering what's wrong with this guy. Yet on the radio, this is thought to be not only acceptable, but professional. Listen to PBS, and you'll have a better idea of what I mean. I think you mean NPR, because PBS is a TV network. And they don't have any personality at all. But yeah, you're right. Radio is definitely like that, commercial radio especially. Where you're encouraged to simply sound the same, not have accents, not say anything topical or interesting. Yeah, imagine talking to somebody like that in real life. Would be pretty dull and boring and obnoxious. Second, you have a free and easy sense of humor and wit. Try to force these qualities and its muse will flee. Interesting. Third, content. I enjoy your editorials on the news. TV, AM, FM, radio, mannequins just read handouts carefully purged of anything that might offend. Can't read this next word, it's might crust it out. Consequently, there's lots of talk without anything being said. How about something like this? The war, if one can call the invasion of a defenseless country that, is a criminal action committed by warmongering nation gone amok. Chances of hearing that are about the same as the sun failing to rise. Yet to many, this is exactly true. So now that we're not having much luck in Iraq, we're ready to throw the dice again in Iran or Syria or North Korea. This too is exactly true, and you're one to voice it, one of the very few. Signed, Bob. Thank you, Bob, for writing in. And this program is also heard, by the way, on shortwave on Saturday nights, WBCQ, 7415 kilohertz. And we asked for people to write in if they heard the show. Didn't really get a very good response at all, so we would like to hear from people who are listening to shortwave. We'd like to know that you're out there. otw@2600.com. Now, if you don't have internet access, all right, maybe you don't. Here's our mailing address. Off the wall. Care of 2600. That's just to make sure it gets there. It's not really part of 2600, but care of 2600. Make sure it gets there that way. P.O. Box 848, Middle Island, New York, 11953. And if you're outside of the USA, then write USA. So, yeah, that's some of the listener mail. We do get a good amount. It's always good to hear from our listeners. It's good to hear get phone calls as well, but until we straighten out this whole FCC business, we can't really do that. Let's see, anything else happening in the world that deserves attention? No, not really. This is all nonsense. All nonsense. Well, yeah. Gone for the gun thing? Okay. Did the torture thing? How about the parking Nazi? This is a funny story. A self-appointed traffic judge who allegedly meted out street justice by vandalizing cars in Jamaica Plain, that's up in Massachusetts by Boston, for everything from expired stickers to parking violations, was arrested yesterday after he was caught on camera keying the side of a police decoy van. Security guard Robert Feast, it was his love for the law that was his undoing. You know a guy like this? Cops say Feast, 44 years old, dubbed the parking Nazi by local residents, has, you know, everybody who follows rules meticulously, how do they get labeled Nazi? Because Nazis are really into killing people and torture and world domination and things like that. I guess there was a lot of paperwork involved, but I just think there could be a better word for it because there are so many people doing that now. And they're not Nazis, but they're annoying, and they need to be stopped. But if you call them Nazis, it sort of takes away from what they're actually doing. But anyway, well, for the purpose of this story, we'll continue to call him the parking Nazi. He'd been terrorizing the Boston neighborhood for years with his ruthless respect for auto etiquette, imposing his punishments while out walking his dog. His punishments feature dousing cars with chocolate syrup, spray paint, and feces for infractions including out-of-state plates in residential parking spots, and even offensive bumper stickers. Yeah, he was caught on camera yesterday morning dragging a screwdriver along the red paint of a decoy van with Texas plates. And it was actually a decoy van that police planted outside his home. So I guess they had an idea. Now, this guy works for Verizon. He does security work for Verizon. Oh, my God. He was due to be arraigned this morning on at least one charge of willful and malicious destruction of property. unreal. And this got people in the neighborhood to set up surveillance cameras to figure out who this who this person was. But these are the things that he went after. He went after people who parked on the street if they had a driveway. I don't know how he would know if they had a driveway. Went after bumper stickers and vanity plates. Why are bumper stickers and vanity plates an offense? People who took up more than one parking space. People who had an expired or rejected inspection sticker, or people who had out-of-state plates. The ultimate offense. Oh, yeah. There's people like this all over the place, you know, who take the law into their own hands and wind up doing worse things than the people who allegedly offended or broke the law in the first place. Oh, well. Hey, we're just about out of time, but I want to remind people to continue to write into us, otw@2600.com. Continue to keep your eyes open and stay awake as far as what's going on in the world, what's going on around you, whether they're cutting down all the trees or whether they're taking away your right to vote or doing all kinds of other horrible things. They will do it if you give them the chance. And they won't do it if you speak up. We'll see you next week.
Stand up, all victims of oppression. For the tyrants, be your might. Don't cling so hard to your possessions, for you have nothing, you have no rights. Let racist ignorance be ended, for respect makes the empires fall. Freedom is merely privilege extended, unless enjoyed by one and all. Dawn and stand beside us. We'll live together or we'll die alone. In our world poisoned by exploitation, no human take on, no they must give. And then the vanity of nations, we make one earth on which to live.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.